Ten Point came out a couple weeks ago and after a year of working out on the Far East Side, announced that there had been no homicides in the Far East Side. That's not true. There were a number of homicides in the Far East Side. There were none in their kind of small area where they were patrolling. What did you make of that press conference and their messaging and what they said about what they had done there?
Yeah, I think it's a disservice to the families who has lost someone to gun violence, to the community, to organizations that's doing the work. To say that you are the sole contributor to reduce a violence in that organization is a flat-out lie. And to not acknowledge the organizations that's been around doing the work over there for years. It takes years to see a reduction in homicides. And if your programming is really effective, why won't you collaborate with organizations that's already in the existing areas? You got to go exactly to the people where they at. Some of these churches don't count, or some of these businesses don't count. You know, you have to be more intentional about talking to people who's directly impacted.
Can you explain what you mean when you say some churches don't count?
Some churches are not the makeup of that community. You know, some churches you probably reach out to or connect to, or the pastor of that church, their congregation, a lot of mega churches on the Far East Side is not the makeup of that area, of that zip code. And that's a problem.
I thought it was interesting you said in your one of your live streams that you did after that press conference that there was a war going on between, I think you called it traditional organizations mm-hmm. and grassroots organizations.
Yeah.
Can you talk about what that means and how it relates to this issue, but what is the distinction there? Because I think for a lot of people on the outside that aren't intimately familiar with this, it kind of all looks the same. You know, you see 10 Point on TV and they're walking the streets and talking to people, and that distinction isn't really clear.
No, so there's been organizations that's been around doing the same thing for 20 plus years and refuse to change, to adapt to what's going on today. What happened in the 1990s or late 80s is definitely not happening in 2019 or 2020. We have to adapt and adjust to the issues and concerns of what's going on today.
And it seems like a lot of the problem that you have with some of this is not just that they're not acknowledging you and that would be nice to do,
no.
But like the consequence of that, from your perspective, is eventually funding gets sort of funneled.
It blocks resources and services actually going into groups who's really doing the work. If you have an organization like the Ross Foundation who is more connected to that community, more connected to the people who's in need the most, and we know exactly what we need out here, and we get blocked, a potential block from receiving that resource as a service from a funder or a grantor, then that's a problem. Because if they already thinking an organization is over there doing that type of work, they're going to overlook any other organization or programs that's trying to do that work. Oh, we thought 10 Point had that covered. And that's why I say it's important that we collaborate. I'm not saying that they are not allowed out there. I'm saying that they need to collaborate with existing organizations that's already doing the work, so you won't reinvent the wheel, and then you don't have to spread yourself thin, and then you could do what you do, wherever that may be, and you could come alongside and join what's already been established.